Be vegan, make peace.
Our programs offer many languages. Please visit suprememastertv.com/schedule.
Nos programas ofrecen plusieurs langues. Veuillez visiter suprememastertv.com/schedule.
Nuestros programas ofrecen varios idiomas. Visiten suprememastertv.com/schedule.
Nasze programy oferują wiele języków. Prosimy zobaczyć suprememastertv.com/schedule.
To slander the Buddha or any enlightened saint is one of the gravest sins. Or to kill the Buddha, or to kill your parents, or to hurt your parents in any way, to hurt the Buddha in any way. To hurt doesn't necessarily mean to use a knife, yeah, or physical means to hurt. To hurt also the reputation.
Please keep watching to find out more.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Today's episode will be presented in English with subtitles in Arabic, Aulaxis, also known as Vietnamese, Chinese, English, French, German, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Japanese, Korean, Malay, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Telugu, and Thai. Izen means hello in Kakas. My name is Olga. The respectful people of Kakasia extend their appreciation to you for being God's vehicle to selflessly elevate the world. The Republic of Kakasia is located in Russia's south-central Siberia. Its magical combination of mountains, rolling hills, and lakes creates a scenic wonderland, with each region having its own distinct beauty. The mountains are covered with the lush forests of larch, pine, fir, and spruce, while the lowland fields yield plentiful crops of wheat, oats, millet, and potatoes. Kakasia is also home to Mount Kunya, whose name means Mountain of the Sun. Kakasian history dates back many thousands of years, and the Republic is known as a center of archaeology. Malaya Siya, a Stone Age site, is estimated to be at least 30,000 years old, and contains more than 40 caves. Sunduki is another natural wonder, with 8 huge sandstone mounds rising from the surrounding plain. It is believed
that this was once a stargazing capital and a sacred place of worship.
The Caucasian people have retained a rich tradition of folklore and music. The most prominent form is epic poetry, usually performed in the kay style of throat singing, accompanied by musical instruments like the multi-string chatkan. Caucasians also delight in events that call for traditional dress, which is often very elegant and colorful. It was a delight to introduce fascinating Kakasia to you, endearing viewers.
We pray that your quiet meditation practice helps to purify the atmosphere around you. For decades, Supreme Master Qinghai has illuminated our world with her divine teachings. A fully enlightened master, she imparts the Kuan Yin method of meditation to those desiring to immediately discover the God nature within, to achieve in one lifetime eternal liberation from the cycle of transmigration. The Kuan Yin method has been practiced by all enlightened masters such as the worshipped World Honored One, Shakyamuni Buddha, the worshipped Son of God, Jesus Christ, the venerated master and philosopher, Confucius, the venerated Lord Krishna, the venerated master and philosopher, Lao Tzu, the venerated Lord Mahavira, the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji, and many more. Supreme Master Qinghai emphasizes that if we always remember God, render selfless service to others, and follow the laws of the universe, we will reach our highest potential as humans and truly understand our purpose on Earth. An extraordinary living example of compassion, she lovingly and regularly sends material and financial assistance to refugees, the homeless, natural disaster victims, and others needing relief. Supreme Master Qinghai respectfully thanks all special individuals, organizations, leaders, and governments for all your genuine, loving, ongoing support. May heaven bless you forevermore. We, the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association members, are also sincerely grateful for your expressive kindness, wishing you the best. Supreme Master Qinghai receives love and recognition from various organizations, media, governments, individuals, and many awards such as the 2006 Guxi Peace Prize, considered the Nobel Peace Prize of the East, the World Spiritual Leadership Award in 1994, the Mahavir Award in 2008, February 22nd and October 25th, both proclaimed as the Supreme Master Qinghai Day, an honorary citizen of the United States, etc., and has been honored throughout the years with numerous other awards and accolades for her outstanding philanthropic and humanitarian deeds.
etc. We apologize for not being able to show many other awards and honors for lack of space and time. Supreme Master Qinghai respectfully thanks all special individuals, organizations, leaders, and governments for all your genuine, loving, ongoing support. May heaven bless you forevermore. We, the Supreme Master Qinghai International Association members, are also sincerely grateful for your expressive kindness, wishing you the best. A true voice for our beautiful animal friends, Supreme Master Qinghai promotes the peaceful, loving plant-based diet and envisions with humanity's awakening to the sacredness of all life, a tranquil and glorious all-vegan world where animals and people live in respectful harmony. Her initiatives included alternative living flyer distribution, the international vegan restaurants, Loving Hut, vegan food companies, vegan fur products, Supreme Master Television, as well as writing and speaking to influential government and media leaders, participating in televised conferences on climate change, etc. Whether we are aware of it or not, her efforts have had an enormous influence on global awareness of the animal-friendly lifestyle and how this benevolent way can bring lasting peace among nations while saving our planet from climate change and disasters. Supreme Master Qinghai has traveled worldwide and held discourses with the public and her disciples on a variety of spiritual topics. Today, we are blessed to present one of these insightful lectures entitled Magical Power is Never Enough to Protect You, Part 2 of 5, on Between Master and Disciples, given in English on December 2, 2018, in Shihu, Taiwan, also known as Formosa.
In this world, magical power, secular power, there is never enough to protect yourself from all harm. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you, with all his magical power, he could not save his mom. The reason was that his mom had committed the gravest sin, one of the gravest sins that you can commit. Even if you're a non-believer, even if you're your son or your daughter, even if he's a master, your son, your daughter, or the disciple of the most powerful master, like Buddha, for example, or Jesus, still you cannot avoid the consequences of your own actions. If there's an action, there's a reaction, retribution. She had slandered the Buddha, slandered his disciples, the pure disciples at that time. All of them were arhat and great saints, great bodhisattvas already. And they had done nothing wrong. They had done nothing wrong to her, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, nothing. They were innocent, but she kept slandering them, you know, to other people, to make sure nobody believed the Buddha. You know, whomever she could, she slandered the Buddha and the Sangha. I guess she was following another kind of faith, but with the wrong concept. Like, her faith was the only one. The rest, whoever knew, was not true, you know? Yes. Just like when Jesus was alive, people were still waiting for him to come. They always thought a Messiah would come one day. And then when Baha'u'llah, God bless him, arrived, they were also waiting for another master to come. Yes. And when Guru Nanak came, they were still waiting for the Savior. So very few people follow him. Even though look like a lot, yeah, maybe even millions. But how much is millions? In the world, you have billions, okay? Thus, you know, whatever master comes, they're still waiting for a messiah. Mm. Same when the Buddha arrived, they were still waiting for a messiah, the savior. They did not believe in him. Similarly, maybe she was following another set of doctrines, saying that the messiah would come, and everyone else was not true. In some of the religious faith nowadays, they still think like that. They still think that maybe that was the last one, a last prophet, a last savior, no one else after that. So we cannot argue with all this. Fine, we don't have to. And nobody needs to believe in anyone if they don't want to believe, but you should not slander. In case that being, that person has attained sainthood, then you will be punished severely. It's not the saint that punishes you. It is the law of cause and effect in this world. Thus, Mauda Galiayana's mother was one of them who had bad mouth, bad seed of karma, bad influence from her, maybe her faith, maybe the people who led her into that faith. Maybe somebody who was jealous of the Buddha and indoctrinated her into many wrong concepts, made her become, you know, slanderous of the Sangha and the teachings of the Buddha and the Buddha personally, even though her son was a disciple. Or maybe she had no faith at all. She loved her son, like all mothers do. And sometimes too much love becomes possessiveness, yes. And thus, when her only son, the beloved of her life, the jewel in her eyes, left her home and became a monk, following the Buddha everywhere, and became a renunciate, she could not tolerate it. Similar to many mothers, when her son is married to another woman, and the daughter-in-law is another woman, and she cannot bear it. And then there are many things happening within the family, yeah, with the in-laws. Well, this is famous anyway. I'm not saying bad things about anybody. It just happened. Especially if her husband had left the world and she had only one son, and that was all her life. And if this so-called life was taken away from her, she became furious. And then she became, you know, very, very bad like that. To slander the Buddha or any enlightened saint is one of the gravest sins. Or to kill the Buddha, or to kill your parents, or to hurt your parents in any way, to hurt the Buddha in any way. To hurt doesn't necessarily mean to use a knife, yeah, or physical means to hurt. To hurt also the reputation, yeah, hurt the reputation. To make that person be so degraded, that saint degraded, humiliated, or harassed in any way. Not even physically, is the same as making the Buddha bleed. Making any Buddha bleed is a grave sin, according to the sutra. And I know that also, that is true. Or slandering any Buddha, you will go to the so-called non-stop hell, meaning you never get out. You can never get out of that. And you could never be pardoned. No matter how many masters come and go, because you denied the representative of the truth and the goodness and the virtues. You turned your back from it. That means you'll be there forever. Got that? So the mother of this great monk had to go to hell according to the law of karma, which governs this entire physical world. That means the Maya, the illusionary force, can do with her what it wants. Yeah? No one can interfere. Even the Buddha cannot, because Maura Galayana went to hell. He had the power to go to heaven, high heaven, at will, and he couldn't even go to hell at will. Whatever hell, the deepest hell he could go to. He was a disciple of the Buddha, and he also had magical powers. He went there and saw his mother suffering so much. Not only did she slander the Buddha and defame the Sangha, she cooked meat, you know, and invited the monks to eat. Cheated them, understand me? Cheated them to eat meat so that they would also commit this the offenses. Because the Buddha had declared already they should not eat meat, the real monks should not eat meat. And she cheated them. She said, oh, he's a vegetarian. She pretended to be nice and pious, and then invited them and then gave them this impure food to eat. Therefore, she went to the nun. We have everlasting life, but we have also everlasting hell. She went to that kind of hell. Over there, she's always feeling hungry, thirsty, but she can never eat anything. Even her son, the great monk, came down there to bring food, use his power to manifest food to give to his mother. As soon as she swallowed, it became burning cold and burning her throat and her body. Continuously, she can never eat anything. Forever hungry, because she gave the wrong food to the Sangha. So her extra karma is like that. Normally, if you are enlightened and practice diligently, then 5, 6, up to 9, 10 generations will be liberated forever. Might not be on the fifth level yet, but can be guaranteed of ultimate liberation gradually because of your merit and because of your master's power. This one is an exception because she denied everything and she degraded everything that was meritorious for her due to her son. Can you imagine how much more if people even kill the Buddha and all that? Everyone, even disciples or non-disciples who slander the Buddha, will all really go to hell, whether or not the master wants it. The same with the disciples of Jesus who betray him, even though maybe not intentionally, maybe being cheated into it. And another one, Devadatta, who was always against the Buddha, the same. He would have gone to hell for a long time. And even with the power of the Buddha, maybe long eons after kalpas, after billions, trillions, gazillions of years, maybe they can fish him out, but then he would do a bad thing again. And then go back to hell again. The seed inside cannot always be destroyed by hellfire, even for thousands of billions, zillions of kalpas, meaning uncountable lifetimes. Yeah, I told you, it's very difficult to be a master because you can't please everyone. And there are many established long-time doctrines already, yes? And due to people's ignorance, not understanding the doctrine of the past masters and saints, and due to the ignorance of the so-called leaders, religious leaders, you know, the blind leading the blind, both will fall someday. Thus, the public are being misled believe in something that is not true, is not the truth, is not correct. And so they all become very ignorant and arrogant and do not treat the real saint, the real savior nicely. Thus, they have problems. Even though they might come and follow such and such master, maybe just for fun, maybe just because they're friend in it, just because their wife going, you want to check out what's the wife doing in the assembly, why she keep going every Sunday and doesn't stay home, or the husband, why, whether or not he has another woman or something. So they just join just to check out. Or just join because there's a girl he fancy or the boy she likes, blah, blah, blah. And if anything she doesn't like anymore, she comes out, and then because they don't understand, don't want to listen, nothing. Just follow that goal only, the object only, not follow the master's teaching. So they do not understand. So any little unpleasantness, she or he will come out and turn against the master. The same life after life like that. It's very difficult. Difficult. Also, the master also has former enemies coming back. And they also follow maybe, but they're doing many things that are harmful to the master and the assembly. You know, maybe not physically, but, you know, mentally hurting the reputation or obstructing the teaching, obstructing other people, you know, making their faith waver, something like that. Milarepa, even though he had so few disciples already, his master told him, don't go out, don't preach to anybody, don't accept anyone as your disciple. Most people in the world, they only want material blessings. They don't really want to practice. That's why mostly he hid himself in some remote mountain, eating even just some nettle leaves to survive. And rather than go down in the village or town where people would make offerings to him. In Tibet and India, there is still this wonderful tradition that they make offerings to the renunciate of the saint, if they believe you are the saint. They don't question a lot. So yeah, that's what I'm told. They will tell you, I wish I was in India. Oh, a man, you know? In India, and if you're a man, it's also easy. They don't question you a lot. And some people have problems. Some master have problem maybe in another country. But they accept him in India. They never question him. And when he comes back, they also don't question. They don't put him in jail like in other countries. They don't make trouble. If you say you are sane and you are not, then it is your problem. You will have to answer to heaven, because that's also one of the worst sins you can commit, telling lies about your spiritual attainment when you don't have it. That's also the worst thing you could do to yourself. And plus 5, 6, 7, 9 generations with you. Because if you fall, they fall too. Even the Mu Qinlin, you know, Maudala Gayayana, he did not fall. His mother still fell. Only his mother, the rest, nobody mentioned it. That means they were liberated. Only the mother who was so wicked, that's why. So do not think that if you are initiated by any master, you can commit anything you want. You can say anything you want, or even go against the master, and the master still will save you. Maybe, but that's very risky. In this world of illusion, you must adhere to the rules and regulations in this world. Yes? Suppose you are even the president of a free country, but if you go to another restricted, politically sensitive country, you still cannot do anything against the rules of that country. Can you? Okay.
Enlightened viewers, we appreciate your company for today's episode entitled Magical Power is Never Enough to Protect You, Part 2 of 5, on Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for more positive programming. May we all enhance, protect, and sustain the loving atmosphere of our world.
Our programs offer many languages. Please visit suprememastertv.com/schedule and suprememastertv.com/BMD.
Be veg, go green to save the planet.